And that's why I love this work and why I love shamanism in the 21st century, because it's all about relationship, direct relationship, direct revelation between you and the answers, the power, the knowledge that is waiting for you. However you get there, however you believe it, however you picture that other place. Welcome to the Sober Shaman Podcast, where we explore ways to make the spiritual practical and apply these medicines to the recovery from addiction and trauma. Today's episode is a companion piece to the Substack post, Soul Friends: How Do We Talk to the Ones Who've Left Too Soon? It includes a shamanic rites exercise, transforming estrangement into life, blessing, and prayer. Enjoy today's episode. Thanks for joining me here on this edition of the Sober Shaman Podcast, where we're going to talk about soul friends. Soul friends, and specifically, how do we talk to the ones who've left too soon? It's a subtitle: Shamanic Rites Transforming Estrangement into Life, Blessing, and Prayer, is the subtitle from the Substack post that this podcast is accompanying. If this is your first time on the Sober Shaman, welcome. Thank you for joining me. Please hit the little like button, subscribe where you can. And how I do it is I'll do a written post on the Substack, and I'll often do a podcast like this one where we get to riff on the ideas from the written post. Again, soul friends. And I start by giving an example of one of mine. I have a handful, maybe you do too, of exactly what a soul friend is. And in the Substack, I use one of my favorite pictures of all time. It's my friend Jay, the letter J. I'm abbreviating here for anonymity. And it's Christmas Day, 1985, Harbor Island, Mamaroneck, New York, and he's bending down and touching a puddle, and it offers such a wonderful reflection, and it's almost like he's touching from one world to the next. Soul friends, the ones who've left too soon, and that's kind of how it feels. Even when we lose our soul friends, and specifically, as is the subject matter of the Sober Shaman, in the processes of addiction, whether it's suicide, overdose, or that term death by misadventure, right? It's a common thing, especially in young adulthood, when we are searching to find ourselves, our identity, who we are, what are we going to do, how we're going to do it, who we're going to do it with. And often at that time in young adulthood, we recognize another person who's going through the same things that we are. And by this, I mean, yes, addiction, and at the same time, all of the things that underlie the addiction. In the program, we talk about TALL: trauma, abuse, heartbreak, and loss. And I'm not just speaking of, you know, addicts hanging out with other injured addicts. I'm talking about a very specific kind of connection where it feels like our souls are connected. And I use a musical analogy to where a harmonic resonance, where there is a vibration from one person's spirit it's as if that vibration is felt and causes a similar resonance in our soul and spirit. And there is a connection in this kind of way, like in music, in harmonics. They go together in harmony. And that's often what these kinds of soul friendships feel like. Specifically with Jay, he was my favorite drummer to play with. And the reason for that is because when we played together, it really embodied that word play in every sense of that word. It was revisiting a youth, to use the shamanic term soul retrieval. It wasn't necessarily a retrieving of this soul, but again, in young adulthood, matching a resonance with another soul friend, it's as if we reestablish a thread with these soul parts, these lost parts of innocence, youth, passion, meaning, that for whatever reason, trauma, abuse, heartbreak, and loss caused these parts to split off. And when we resonate with a soul friend in specifically this time of young adulthood, it's a pivoting point to where, how much do we trust? And I can speak for myself, to where despite the depth of the connection I had with Jay, my drummer, and a few of the other soul friends I had, addiction was so powerful that as soon as the safety of, in this case, the rehearsal room, when we would close the doors and rehearse and jam and play and invite in these pieces of innocence and play magic. And when we left that sacred space of the rehearsal room, granted, that was not on my, or I'll venture to say his mind while it was going on, but it was sacred, and we could feel it as sacred. Maybe we didn't have the words, definitely didn't have the words, and ways to articulate it other than the knowing and, unfortunately, the ways that we would connect upon leaving that rehearsal room back into ordinary reality and all of the things in the cycle of addiction that wait there. The spell of the rehearsal room is broken, and the spell of addiction takes over. And in this post, specifically, how do we talk to these soul friends who've left too soon? With my friend Jay, the drummer, we separated in ordinary reality when I left for California to pursue music in 1985, back in those days, and he stayed in New York and did his thing. And despite those 3,000 miles, we mailed tapes back and forth to each other, laying a track, sending it in the mail. He did his, I did mine. We didn't have the internet, how much easier it would have been. And we stayed in touch and we visited. And of course, we recorded together when we were visiting each other. But of course, as things happened with distance, we went our separate ways. And without going into too much detail of how he passed way too soon, you may find it very familiar in that it was a surprise. Out of all of the knuckleheads that I was together with in that time, he was one of the most responsible. He would be the one to say enough is enough. And so that's why it was such a surprise when I got the news when he had passed. And while we are maybe fully expecting that news to hit us about a certain person, it always hits us nonetheless when it does. And when that happens, when we lose a soul friend like this, I say that that part of ourself that the soul friend saw, that the soul friend knew, listened to, understood, and we did the same back for them, what ends up happening to us when they have left is that that part of us can stay frozen, because this is the only person who saw us in that way, in this soul way. Of course, there are others who may catch glimpses, who we then try to share it with, but it's not the same. It's just not the same. So because of this, I know for me, there was a part of me that just assumed that, oh, I'm young. That was so easy and natural to make that soul connection. There must be another just waiting around the corner in the future. There wasn't. There isn't. Not in the way that this soul friend and I resonate together. Not in the way that you and your soul friend resonated together in that way. That's why I do this exercise. Not only to write grief and praise and to honor this soul friend's memory, the gifts he bestowed upon me and us and life, not only that, but to heal those parts of myself that I must take responsibility for now. I must acknowledge and recognize, oh, there is this part of me that's been hanging out in waiting for somebody like Jay saw me to resonate that part. It's like it's frozen in place and it needs to be shaken loose. Movement is the medicine. That's one of the beauties of music, right? It shakes, it vibrates, it shakes loose. In Chinese medicine, we have 7 emotions and they can go healthy or unhealthy. And it's the cause for internal disease, just these 7. And one of them is termed fright. And that is the emotion that happens when TAHL hits, when trauma, abuse, heartbreak, and loss, T-A-H-L, that acronym I use, hits. Boom. When trauma hits, when the news of the loss of our soul friend hits, boom. I speak about this in those phone calls when you get the news. And I'll repeat it again. It's like I got hit in the gut and there's a moment where I can't breathe in. There's a moment where I don't know if I'll ever breathe in again. I don't know if I'll ever be the same. I won't be the same, but in that moment, boom, it hits. And we say in Chinese medicine that this Right. Suspends the chi. This is what it does to the energy. The translation is suspends. Boom. It's like an explosion goes off. And then all the little particles just kind of hover and stay in this suspended place, frozen, again, waiting to be seen, waiting to be heard, waiting to be known. That's why I do this writing. That's why I offer this writing, share this writing with my clients, and for you here today. Maybe you have a recognized, unknown part of yourself that's been in waiting, that's been frozen, that's been suspended. So if you want to do this writing exercise, I'd again recommend you go to the post where I'll put the link in this video's notes. And it's on the Substack post of the same name. And you can see it there written step by step, but I'll run through them here again. And it's basically the same way I always do a shamanic writing exercise. Now, that said, if you have your own spiritual writing method, by all means, grab this prompt and do it for yourself. I would also suggest, though, that maybe throwing in what works for you that maybe isn't in your exercise, which would be, let's start with step one, which is making an altar. And by altar, take that term for however that lands with you. If you are a spiritual person, then there's no problem there. If you're an atheist or an agnostic, don't worry about it. You won't be praying to something you don't believe in. And that's why, I love this work and why I love shamanism in the 21st century, because it's all about relationship. Direct relationship, direct revelation between you and the answers, the power, the knowledge that is waiting for you. However you get there, however you believe it, however you picture that other place, make an altar. Because on this altar, what I want you to place are the items that connect you to your soul friend. A wonderful thing would be a picture to where they're looking directly at you in the camera. Of course, that would be wonderful, especially if you're having a hard time remembering what they look like. If you don't have that, that's okay. You can use your mind's eye of them looking directly at you. But again, on this altar, place talismans of any kind. I have a wonderful post on talismans, a couple of them actually, if you want to read about that. Concert tickets, right? Talking about music. Anything that connects you, a piece of jewelry with them in any kind of way. I have people who use the urns. Maybe it's a loved one who you actually have their urn. Anything that works for you. Make that altar, specific place. Boom. Number two, set aside a time and a space where you're not going to be interrupted and you got all your writing materials there. Got your altar, you got your stuff, you got a time and place. Connect. Spend a moment in front of that altar, looking at all those items, not being interrupted, focusing on the connection you have with your soul friend. Spend that time. Bring in the memories. Let them wash over you. Let them bubble up Whichever way they come, let them come. Call upon your frozen parts. Call upon those aspects of yourself that are still in waiting. Those corresponding pieces of yourself that only this soul friend recognized in the way that they were able to recognize. Call upon those parts of yourself at the same time you have called upon your connection with your soul friend. At this point, it's time to hit the drums. You can use the audio file that is, again, part of the post, whatever drums you have, however you do it, that signals the very clear start of your writing and brings you back very clearly, structuredly at the end of your writing. I've provided an audio file of the drums here. I felt like drumming, so this is a new drumming file. It's about 9 minutes long. Soon as you hit that, read the prompt out loud three times directly into the eyes of your soul friend there on your altar. If you don't have their eyes directly on your altar because you don't have a picture of them, send it to them in your mind's eye into their eyes. Dear, whatever their name is, my soul friend, you are not forgotten. The gifts you brought sparked my life. It is important that I remember you and these gifts now, cause. There's the prompt. Say it out loud into the altar, into that soul friend of yours's eyes. Send it into the parts of you that are frozen. Dear, their name. My soul friend, you are not forgotten. The gifts you brought sparked my life. It is important that I remember you and these gifts now because. And then, as always, with the drums going, you've written down that prompt, said it out loud, let it rip. Let it rip and answer that prompt. It is important that I remember you and these gifts now because. Boom, go. So those drums will take you into the writing. Those drums will call you back. Upon the callback, send thanks into everything you've seen and done. Put your pen down, breathe, and don't jump into the ordinary reality waiting for you in the day. There's plenty of time for that. Stay with what you've written. Maybe close your eyes again and stay with that connection and let it wash over you. How does it feel? What came up for you? What is happening now for you? Maybe you'll want to write down some other notes, some post-exercise notes. By all means, do that too. So I was lucky enough to have received a response from one of my clients on this exercise recently because she was experiencing the loss of a soul friend, and it happened suddenly, and there were other complications due to their estrangement over the years. Just because they're a soul friend doesn't mean that they are immune to the normal crap of everyday, ordinary reality life and our pettiness and how we interact it with those we love, especially when there's an addiction, maybe two, dancing between us in our soul friend dance. This is exactly what happened with S. That's the initial for her name. And so upon her soul friend's recent passing, guilt not only grief, but the suppression of grief, because it all gets locked together because the hope is removed. That frozen part of ourself is still, I'll speak for myself and the people who I've spoken to with about this, we're assuming, consciously or subconsciously, that, you know, we're going to get it back together again. This is a temporary phase. It might be a decade or two or three or four, but it's temporary. As long as that other person's alive, we have this notion that it's going to take care of itself because, again, it was so easy to establish it in young adulthood. And obviously, that's not the case. So with S, she lost this person in the middle of estrangement, complicating, once again, the guilt, the suppression of grief. All this comes together. So we did this exercise, and I'm going to read what she got. It's short and beautiful. While she was sitting in front of her altar, sending these words, these sentiments with power and recognition to her soul friend, initialed IG. IG, you lived this life unabashedly, full tilt. Wind at your back, face towards the sun, all in, all the time. Your gift to deeply connect with people was unprecedented. You not only saw a person's spirit, you told them so. You led and we followed. You are my brother eternally, and I love you so very much. Love for real, not fade away. IG, you lived this life unabashedly, full tilt, wind at your back, face towards the sun, all in, all the time. Your gift to deeply connect with people was unprecedented. You not only saw a person's spirit, you told them so. You led, and we followed. You are my brother eternally, and I love you so very much. Love for real, not fade away. S and I went through this, and in the speaking back of talking about it, I don't like to say processing or breaking it down. It's just, in the retelling of the tale, let's put it that way, in the retelling of her expression to IG and her giving more details to each line and what that actually meant, and she explained some of them, and some of them were for her, between her and him, exclusively. And that's how it'll be for you. There will be things that don't need explanation and should not be explained to others because it is between you and your soul friend. It is between you and spirit. There are things you know true in your heart, soul, and bones that don't make its way out into the world of words. But here are the words. Done beautifully. Done well. When you do it like this, when you connect like this, there's no wrong way to do it. There's no wrong way to do the exercise. Even if you're stuck, right about being stuck. Julie Cameron in The Artist's Way talks about morning pages. I can't believe I'm writing the morning pages again. I'm stuck. I can't believe I'm doing the morning pages again. I'm stuck. Well, do that for three pages. See what happens. I love that advice. Luckily for me and many of the people that I work with, I will knock wood and say all of the people that I've worked with, when we've set it up in a way where the time is right and it's been set aside as a sacred time, it's always come through. And that's the beauty of this kind of work, this kind of intention. We fail beautifully, and that is not failure. So to sum up this episode, I just want to point out some important shifts in the writing about a soul friend approach versus writing directly to them. And that's what I love about what I call shamanism. We are writing to the spirits. You don't have to call it shamanism to do that. But the point is it's not about them. When we write about something, it's an object. It's an it. It doesn't have that resonant harmonic in relationship. Now, whether you call that shamanism or spirituality or resonance or poetry or religion, it doesn't matter. Point is the magic that happens when we do it, when we enter into that place of relationship versus about separation, it. No good. Much easier to receive healing in relationship with. It shakes loose those frozen parts. I hope this post, this exercise, this podcast, however you do it, maybe resonated with you in a way that causes you to recall a soul friend. One who saw you in a way that only they saw you. How beautiful. Remember that. Remember that connection. Thank you for your time. Taking a listen again. Back to Ordinary Reality. Hit a little like button. Subscribe. Send me a little note. Any questions you have. I greatly appreciate your time. Participation. Till next time. Blessings. Thanks for listening to the Sober Shaman Podcast, where we explore ways to make the spiritual practical. Please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Send me any questions or comments you have. Check out the website, randalllyons.com. I look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, blessings.